presenting another in a series of radio dramas adapted from stories appearing in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Today's playlist was inspired by an unusual story of a woman's sacrifice, which will be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. The story was dramatized in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company in New York. The American Theater of Radio presents The Unforgivable Sin. Scene 1 takes place in the home of Senora Luisa Zaboda in Seville, Spain. In the course of his business activities, it is necessary for Senor Zaboda to spend considerable time away from home in other parts of the country. It is during one of his frequent trips abroad that his wife makes the acquaintance of a certain man who is destined to play a tragic part in her future life. Prince Michael de Folay is the name by which he is known. Luisa Zaboda was a thoroughly good woman, but the elegant gentleman whom she met had not only grand and imperious airs and graces, but was introduced to her as a prince. And to this honest middle-class woman, royalty seemed only a little lower than the deity to whom she prayed each night. The prince, always on the lookout for such things, recognized the look of adoration and played his cards accordingly.
I still do not understand why you should take such an interest in anybody like me.
My dear Luisa, how many times must I tell you that your age or appearance has nothing to do with my regard for you? I've had so much beauty, so much youth and glamour thrown at me that I welcome you.
It's all so wonderful to think that you, Prince de Folay...
Oh, please, please, don't talk like that. It annoys me.
I'm sorry. I know not what else to call
you. I've told you before, you may call me Michael. After all, I'm not merely a guest in your house, am I?
No, of course not. You've told me that you like me too, haven't you, Michael?
Yes, of course.
Would you care for another glass of wine, Michael? It's of the finest. I brought it from the cellar myself, especially for you today.
Yes, certainly. Thank you. Thanks. And here's to your very good health, Luisa.
Could you not say to our very good health, Michael?
Very well, then. Be it so. You know, it's just occurred to me. How are we going to explain my presence here in your house to your good husband upon his return?
That is something to which I've given much thought also, Michael.
It might be a little difficult, to say the least.
Jose is not what you call a jealous man, or... Though I cannot say for certain, as up to now, I've never given him any cause to be.
No, I imagine not.
But I think he'll feel as I feel, that it's a great honor to have a royal prince as our guest. And, well, as to what exists between you and me, perhaps he'll not notice.
Perhaps not, no.
After all, we were introduced by a lifelong friend of Jose, so there's no reason for him to think of any wrong, is there?
There is the matter of your son.
Sebastian, there's nothing to fear from him, Michael.
He's at the age where they notice everything.
But nothing has been done.
That doesn't mean that nothing will be done, does it?
Michael, I don't understand. You must remember that I've never been made love to before. Especially by one so gallant as you.
Oh, come, come, Luisa. But tell me, did I understand you to say that you had considerable money in the bank?
About 40,000 pesetas, Michael. I've saved well and added to what my father left me.
Luisa, are you happy living as you are?
I was, I suppose. Until you came.
Have I caused you unhappy?
No, 1,000 times no.
What is it, then?
I knew no other life than that which I had, but since you've come, it's all changed. I don't know.
Luisa, I think I can make you very happy.
Yes, Michael, yes.
Marry me, and I will take you to my ancestral chateau in the Tyrol. Give you all and everything you desire.
But, Michael, there is Jose. I'm married.
Don't you care for me?
Of course, but... But to marry you would be impossible.
Why?
Because of Jose.
But don't you care sufficiently for me to divorce him?
Michael, there is no divorce in Spain. It's not allowed.
Not allowed? I don't understand.
Of course, I forgot your friend. There is no divorce law in Spain, Michael.
Oh, I see. No divorce.
Do not feel unhappy. It's the law of the country. There's nothing we can do about it.
No. But it's a great disappointment.
Do not allow it to be so. We can be happy, you and I. We can have our loving secrets.
But
none but you and I. You never know.
So much that I cannot do under the circumstances.
What are you not able to do, Michael?
Oh, many things. But in the first place, I must return to France.
No, you must not. Why must you go?
Because my interests are there. I must return in order to replenish my purse. I must have money.
Is that the only reason?
The main one, yes.
Then you will not go. I have plenty of money. Tomorrow we will go to the bank and I will put my 40,000 pesetas at your disposal.
I wouldn't think of it for a moment, my dear Louisa.
You will stay here and we will be happy. Yes?
Yes, if you wish.
I knew you would. Now, will you... will you kiss me, Michael?
Of course, my dear.
For a time, life was a rosy dream to Louisa Zaboda. She gladly put her savings at the prince's disposal. Most curious of all is the fact that she managed to quiet her husband's jealousy so that the royal boarder might have lived with him indefinitely if the police had not driven the magnificent gentleman out of Spain as an undesirable citizen. Louisa could not bear the separation. She scraped together the remains of her own fortune, took her young son, and fled to Paris and the prince.
Mother, do we have to continue to live here any longer?
Yes, my dear. Why do you ask?
Well, I see no reason why we shouldn't go back to Spain. Back home.
There is no home there for us anymore, Sebastian.
Because of that prince?
Yes.
Oh, what good is he? I hate him.
You mustn't say that ever.
But it's true. He took you away from father and our home. He got all your money. He deserted you when he found out you had no more. And he never comes to see you now, does he? He's a dog.
Stop that. Stop that. I won't have you talk that way about the only thing I ever loved. Get out of here and get back to your tailor shop. Go.
Very well, Mother.
Oh. The boy is right. What a fool I've been. But why, oh, why does it have to happen? I loved him so. And he told me he loved me. Oh, must I bear this cross always? Who is it?
It's me, Prince Michael de Forlay.
Michael! Michael, my prayers have been answered, thank God. Oh, Michael. Michael, my sweetheart.
Oh, hold on now, hold on. Don't make a scene. I've just had one with that scalawag son of yours in the stairway.
Michael, aren't you glad to see me? It's me, your Louisa. Aren't you going to kiss me?
No, I'm not. And take your pawing hands off me. Can't you see I'm dressed for the street?
Michael, are you out of your mind? Look at me. Look at me. My heart is breaking. Can't you see I love you? Have you forgotten?
I've forgotten nothing. I just came to tell you that it won't be necessary for you to worry in the future about what few paltry pennies you're able to scrape together.
You mean that we can go?
I said nothing about we. I shan't need any help from you in the future, meager as it has been here of late. I've met a rich friend, Monsieur Lucien Plant, who's taken an interest in me, and he'll provide for me in the manner to which I'm accustomed.
You're leaving me forever?
Exactly.
Michael, you can't mean it. You can't torture me like this. Look at me, Michael.
I am looking at you, and you remind me of one of the old crones that beg along the banks of the Seine.
You don't know what you're saying. I'm the one you love, the one that you held in your arms and showered with kisses. The one you wanted to marry.
I never wanted anything from you but your money, you old fool.
Michael! Michael, come back to me! You can't leave me like this! Michael, you love me! You told me so! Michael! Gone. Gone forever. Old crone. Ugly. Old fool. Never wanted anything from me but my money. Well, you got it. You got my all. My all. My all.
Months later, when Monsieur Lucien Plant had lost confidence in the arch-adventurer, he turned him out into the streets where he had found him. Penniless and shorn of his bogus finery, the prince returned to the humble home of Louisa Zaboda.
So you've come back, eh, Michael?
Yes, I've come back.
I'm sorry.
Don't waste time in being sorry. I've got to have some money.
Again, I'm sorry there isn't any.
Oh, don't give me lies. You've always got some. Give it to me.
Oh,
Michael, Michael.
Oh, get up on your feet and get your purse.
Oh, but Michael, please. As God is my witness, I have no money. There's but a few francs in my purse with which to buy bread for me and Sebastian. Not enough by far to meet your needs.
Well, go and get some.
Don't strike me again, Michael, please. I beg of you.
Oh, stop whining and get out.
Very well. But before I go, would you care for a glass of wine? It's the best our poor hospitality affords.
Very well, bring it.
Sit down and rest, Michael. You look tired. I'll just be a second.
Now, don't try any of that. I'm not interested in your concern for my comfort. Give me the wine and get out for the money.
Very well. There you are, Michael.
That vile stuff. Now, get out.
Yes. Yes, as soon as I get my hat and cape.
If Sebastian should return, tell him I'll be back shortly, will you?
Well, that's that. He won't.
Is there anything else you want, Michael? No. I don't believe you will be wanting anything else for some time to come. Not after I've finished with you. The little white capsule in your wine works swiftly. Sleep soundly, Michael, dear. I have a surprise for you. The razor which you thought you lost, you remember? See, I'm bringing it back to you. You took me from my home and family. Robbed me of everything I cherished. Wrecked me in body and soul. Threw me aside when I could do no more. Came back to taunt me with my age and the marks of suffering which had seared my face. And then your crushing insult. I never wanted anything from you but your money, you old fool. Oh, fool am I. Prince Michael, you paid the price of the unforgivable sin.
Read the verdict of the jury in the trial of Louisa Zaboda. Read the interesting details of this sensational love murder. Read this true life account of the arch adventurer who betrayed this trusting woman. This story appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst's Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. And, by the way, have you mailed in the coupons with your suggestions in the great American Weekly slogan contest? Don't fail to do it today. Just think, $1,000 a year for the rest of your life in return for a slogan that aptly fits the American Weekly. Now, here is an opportunity to earn a lifetime of security which may never come to you again. And your chance is as good as anyone. Your coupons must be received in New York not later than 5 p.m. Monday, October the 22nd. So don't delay. Keep watching your Hearst Sunday paper for the announcement of the winning slogan and the names of the persons who have won the many grand prizes listed in this great contest. Your name may be among them. It's all up to you. Mail your coupons in today, and the best of luck to you.